Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The MMA Gambling Podcast of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Shady Rays. SGPN is teaming up with Shady Rays for Shady May. Get 50% off your Shady Rays using promo code SGPN, and then go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/shady for your chance to win $500.
Hello, Jen Reynolds, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Episode 340 goes out to Chalgas Chumagulov's hair. Not
it's
him.
It's so bad.
Not him, to his hair. It looks like his two wives and nine children all took turns cutting his hair. So check it out if you can. And Caron Gracie, he's a runner-up because he has a new look too as well. And Gilbert Burns has a big afro now, last time I saw it. So, yeah. This is going to be all about hair this episode. Thanks for coming to the show. I am Jeff Chalks Fox. I'm not all about hair. I got hair on my face, not as much on my head. This one's going to be all about UFC 288 main card. Yesterday we went through all 8 of the prelim picks, so make sure you check out that if you haven't already. Today we're talking about the main card, and we're going to, at the end of the show, we will give you our dogs, our locks, our props, and our parlays. Of course, I have some company here with me. It's the one and only Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
How wild is that haircut?
Yeah, what is it, Dan? What is this haircut? Describe it.
It looks like it wants to be like a Beatles haircut, but then he also has the same goatee as the kid the senior who is in my freshman algebra class had. He has that same goatee. So It's nuts, man. And if you're not in the Discord, this is what you're missing, by the way. You're missing updates on Chalgas Chumagulov's hair.
Yep, it's true. At sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord is the place to be. All right, we're going to tell you all about UFC 288's main card pay-per-view portion. Like I said, yesterday was all about the prelims, so make sure you check that one out. What do you think about the main card? Is this pay-per-view worthy, Dan? I don't think
the couple of fallouts we've had, I will say Burns versus Muhammad is such a fun fight. So like maybe that alone is getting me back into it.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. But the rest of the card, I don't know. How much they want us to pay for this? $70 or something like that. So I always pay for it, of course, as do you. So
Yeah.
So, okay. All right. Before we get into all that, I'm going to tell you about a way you can save money, get a good deal, so you can afford these overpriced pay-per-views. That would be over at our friends at Shady Rays. Actually, with Shady May, you could win enough money to cover UFC pay-per-views for quite a while. Because Shady Rays is teaming up with SGPN for Shady May. Not only do you get an amazing 50% off their products, but you also have a chance to win $500. Shady Rays have you covered from the sun to the slopes with premium polarized shades, customizable snow goggles, and much more. Shady Rays have durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. That's not all. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. If you don't love them, exchange for a new pair or return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop with Shady Rays, and that rhymes. Their team always has your back. That doesn't rhyme. Go to shadyrays.com and use code SGPN for 50% off. That's half price. Two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses, then take your receipt to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/shady for your chance to win a $500 period in the Shady May contest, not a $500. Hard, cold cash. I'm messing up words and we just started the podcast. Let's move on to the main card. 10 p.m. on pay-per-view, unless you're in one of those parts of the world where you don't have to pay for it. That will be this Saturday, Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey, UFC 288. We're going to kick things off. Actually, the first two fights are both featherweight fights. Cron Gracie versus Charles Jourdain is the opener. Ice Cream Cron is back. He's 5-1 as a pro with 5 submissions, never been finished in a fight. 1-1 in the UFC. He lost his last fight because he decided he was a striker against Cub Swanson, and that didn't go well. That was way back in October of 2019, though. He's got 1-inch reach on Jourdain. He got outstruck over his 2 UFC fights, but almost 3 strikes per minute. He's at minus 2.98 strikes per minute. His grappling stats, not surprisingly, are better than Jourdain's, plus 155. Air Jourdain, a Canadian, 13-6-1, 8 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been submitted once, 7-5-1 in the UFC. He's lost 2 straight. Before that, he won 2 straight. He used to fight at lightweight, multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. He's 7 years younger than Gracie. He's got better striking and active striking stats. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.28 strikes per minute, minus 175. I always kick things off on the main card because I let Gumby go first in the prelims. Give me the Canadian, Air Jourdain. I can't trust Gracie, not just because of his last performance, but he's been out of the cage for way too long. He's fighting a much younger, more well-rounded, dangerous fighter in Jourdain. So give me, plus he's Canadian. Did I not mention that?
Oh, like you're trying to back into Canadian hood
I'm
now.
I'm coming back. I'm not fading Canadians anymore.
Yeah.
Why I'm slumping. Maybe that's why I'm slumping. Give me Jourdain.
Ask Jamie Lynn Horth how that's going. Ask Jillian Robertson how that's. Do you just fade Canadian women? Is that your thing? You just don't like
maybe.
Canadian women?
My wife's not here anymore. We can talk. all right, go ahead. Go ahead. And pick Cron. Go ahead.
I'm picking Cron.
What
are we getting him at a number? Give me the number again.
Plus 155.
Yeah, I'm taking Cron. And here's why I'm taking Cron. Jourdain has grappling issues, has major grappling issues. Go back and watch his fight with Shane Burgos. Shane Burgos takes his back standing twice in that fight. Shane Burgos is a guy who doesn't grapple. That dude just wants to box every single fight. And more than once, he had Jourdain's back, like at will, like as soon as he wanted it. And if that's the case with Shane Burgos, dude, it only takes Cron Gracie being on you one time and it's over. Like Alex Caceres learned that the hard way, right? Like Alex Caceres, clearly a better striker than Cron Gracie, was clearly having a better time in the striking than Cron Gracie. Just, you know, that's a win that aged well for Cron. And as soon as Cron had him down, over. Game. Call it a submission. And like, I think that's the same thing here with Jourdain. Jourdain is a guy who's got, you know, you're right, is a better striker. But as soon as Cron has his hands on him, it's over. And I don't think that Jourdain has got the footwork. I don't think he's got the wherewithal to stay away here. I think he winds up just being on the ground with him one time and it's over. Not to mention, and I know this is kind of nitpicky in choosing my spots here. We talk about big layoffs all the time, right? This one seems like it had a point though, right? Like, He clearly got pieced up because he didn't have the wrestling to get to Cub Swanson's legs. And then all of a sudden he disappeared for a couple of years and now he's back. I have to think that he like did some wrestling. I have to think that like he sharpened something up here. And really all like if this guy's got a double leg, he's going to beat so many people just like in silly ways by getting absolutely pieced up on the feet, shooting one double leg and winning this fight.
Okay, Gumby, if you didn't listen yesterday, we weren't disagreeing yesterday. We were disagreeing yesterday as well. So it may be one of those shows again. Let's see. Next, I don't think we're in disagreeing.
Wait, we're not going to differ on this one.
Featherweights, Movsar Evloev versus Diego Lopez. Originally, we may have disagreed, but we're not going to disagree now. Lopez, 21-5, 7 knockouts, 10 submissions. He's been knocked out twice. This is his short notice debut. Just took the fight a couple of days ago. He's won 2 straight fights, both via TKO. Before that, he lost 2 straight. 0-1 in the Contender Series, multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
He's fought at bantamweight, 2012 pro MMA debut, 3 inches taller than Evloev, plus 400. Evloev, 16-0, three knockouts, four submissions. He's gone 6-0 in the UFC. What else can I tell you? He used to fight at bantamweight. He was the M1 champion before this over in Russia. He's got 2 inches of reach on Lopez. Based off of their Lopez's one fight, he's more Evloev's more active landing strikes and has better grappling stats. He's outstruck his UFC opponents, Evloev has, by 1.5 strikes per minute, 1.57 to be exact, -667. Tell us why we're picking Evloev.
-667.
667. Other than short notice, you never pick short notice, guys, even though last week that bit us, but go ahead.
No, Evloev has got really good wrestling, right? Dude, I was so pumped to pick him against Bryce Mitchell.
Yeah, me too.
He was going to crush Bryce Mitchell. But the problem with Lopes is like, he was on Contender Series. I don't know if you guys remembered him. He was on Contender Series. He actually fought for, it was only just a little bit over 2 rounds, and then an eye poke ended the fight like 3 seconds into the third. He fought Joe Anderson Brito. He was on the mat with his back on the mat for 8 minutes of the 10 minutes against Joe Anderson Brito. And in what world would you say to yourself, Joe Anderson Brito took him down like that? But I think Movsar Evloev is going to have a hell of a time, right? Like, Movsar Evloev, take down whenever he wants it. You know, 5 minutes of control time. Yeah, rinse and repeat for 2 more rounds. Give him 15 minutes of control time. Just rack up those daily fantasy points if you want Movsar.
Yep, Movsar is the pick. All right. Let's see what we're going to move to next. So we're starting off with 2 featherweight fights. Let's move up to... actually, down to women's strawweights. Jessica Andrade versus Yan Xiaonan. Yan, nicknamed Fury, and nickname is 9. So she has 2. She's 16-3 with 1 no contest. Been knocked out 7 opponents. She herself has been knocked out once and submitted once. 7-2 in the UFC. She won 1-2 of her last 3. She did win her last fight, though. Used to fight at flyweight, 2008 pro MMA debut. 4 inches taller than Andrade, 1 inch of reach on her. She's outstruck her UFC opponents by a very impressive 1.92 strikes per minute, and she's at +170. Andrade, Beta Estasa, which means?
It's Beta Esteca, which I believe means pile driver.
It does. It does mean that. 24-10 is Andrade. 9 knockouts, 8 submissions. She's been knocked out 4 times, submitted 3 times. 15-8 in the UFC. She's won 3 of her last 4, including... losing her last one via submission. Used to fight at flyweight and used to fight at bantamweight. Is the former champion of this strawweight weight class. She's been fighting professionally since 2011 in MMA. She's 2 years younger than Yan, more active landing strikes than Yan, and has better grappling stats than her as well. She's outstruck her UFC opponents by a strike and a half per minute. She's at -175. Give me the former champ, Andrade, way better grappler, going to be more physically stronger than Yan, and she's not too shabby on the feet as well. So I think
she hits like a truck.
Yes. I think she beats most strawweights pretty much. Yeah. Maybe all strawweights, but most strawweights, I'll say in this current state of the UFC.
Yeah. Dude, when you go through the list of people she's lost to in the UFC, it's really impressive. Erin Blanchfield, Valentina Shevchenko, Rose Namajunas, Weili Zhang, Joanna Janjacek. And her only other losses came at bantamweight when she fought at bantamweight for a brief moment. So, like, with the exception of Erin Blanchfield, who has yet to win the title that I think one day she will win, champions. And it's either champions or they don't beat her. And it's because if you watch that fight with Lauren Murphy, she's faster, she's crisper, she hits harder, she's more technical. And even though Yan Xiaonan is, like, a good volume puncher, like, Yan Xiaonan could land 3 punches for every one of Jessica Andrade, and guess which ones the judges are going to remember? They're going to remember that big clubbing right hand that came right down the pike that, like, whipped Yan Xiaonan's head back. So, look, I think the power advantage is there. I think this is probably one of the easier picks here. And the fact that we're getting it at, what did you say, -200?
175, even better.
Oh, 175, even better. Yeah. The fact that we're getting it at 175, to me, is just like, that's a steal. Like, she's going to win this fight easily. I think it's only maybe as close as it is because maybe because she's coming back down to the division. I don't know. But
and Yan just beat Mackenzie Dern, which is kind of impressive.
That's, yeah, it's kind of impressive, but it's like, it sort of isn't relevant, right? Like,
yeah,
Mackenzie Dern,
different fighters for sure.
Terrible boxer, right? Yep. And now she's fighting somebody who boxes as well. So it's like, cool that you beat that terrible boxer. But I'll take the good boxer against any day. So give me Andrade.
Yeah, Andrade does not have too many holes in her game. So, all right, co-main event, 5-round co-main event. It should be the de facto number one contender fight in welterweight, but who knows with the UFC. They like to pass over these guys. Remember the name Muhammad versus Gilbert Burns. Remember the name is 22-3 with one no contest. He's knocked out 5 people, submitted 1 person. He himself has only been knocked out once. So it's very durable. 26 fights. He's only been stopped 1 time. 13-3 with 1 no contest in the UFC. He's won 4 straight. And even better than that, he's gone 8-0-1 over his last, actually 8-0-1 no contest over his last 9 fights. Won his last fight via TKO. Has not actually lost a fight since January of 2019. Was a regional champion, 2-0 in Bellator, 2012 pro MMA debut, inch of height and inch of reach over Burns, 2 years younger. He's more active landing strikes than Burns is. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.79 strikes per minute. He's at +110. Dorino, which means?
Small, tough.
Yes, we just talked about these. Oh, yeah, this is a hastily arranged short notice fight for both men. But seems like Muhammad is what? How much weight was he saying? 40
they
pounds
said he had to lose 7,000 pounds.
Yes, in 2 weeks. Yes. All right. Burns, 22-5, 6 knockouts, 9 submissions. He's been knocked out twice. 15-5 in the UFC. He's won 2 straight and 3 of 5. He used to fight at lightweight. 2012 pro MMA debut. He's a BJJ world champion. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 1/4 of a strike a minute. So 0.25 is a strike differential, and he's at -120.
I'm going to go chalk here. I like Gilbert Burns. I think I'm impressed with the striking of Bilal Muhammad, especially against Sean Brady. But I think the reason it looks so good in that fight is Sean Brady presented exactly one question for Bilal Muhammad. It's like, can you defend my takedown? And I think Bilal Muhammad half could defend the takedown and look so good on the feet, because that's literally all he was worried about coming back from Sean Brady. He wasn't worried about the striking. And I don't think that that's a luxury you have against a guy like Gilbert Burns. If you go back and watch Gilbert Burns, especially since he's come up to bantamweight, he's got a lot of power. You know, you look at the way he knocked out Demian Maia. You looked at the way he stunned Tyron Woodley. You know, obviously he just mostly grappled Stephen Wonderboy Thompson or Magny or Masvidal. I don't know that he'll do that here, but it's enough of a threat that he could possibly grapple him. He could possibly strike with you. And I think that's going to give Bilal Muhammad some issues. We saw it give him issues the last time he fought, which was that fight with Jeff Neal. And since then, like, I don't know that he's fought anybody who's either as sharp as Burns on the ground, or if he is as sharp as Burns in the ground, can mix it up. I think this is maybe one of the toughest fights to call on the whole card. But I like Gilbert Burns here, especially being the one who was recently in camp.
Yeah, right. I was really considering picking Muhammad here, but I ended up going with Burns just because he's more dangerous. More dangerous, striking more dangerous on the ground. I just couldn't think of a way picture a path to victory for Muhammad. The fact that it's 5 rounds and he really puts a pace on could be the issue, but Burns hasn't really gassed out too much, does he? I remember.
He's still had tons in the tank in that war with Khamzat. And granted, that war with Khamzat was only that was only a 3-round war, but like, he was the one who looked good at the end of 3 rounds, not Khamzat.
Yeah. And it's just, he didn't look that great against Masvidal, which probably was playing into me wanting to pick Muhammad, but I think he's too dangerous for Muhammad to avoid for the full 25 minutes, if it goes that long. And Muhammad sounds like he's cutting in a ridiculous, it was in the 40s, was it not? You said 7,000, but I think it was less than that.
I think it was slightly less than 7,000.
Yeah. But I think, it was a ridiculous amount of weight. So that's not going to help either. So give me Burns. Sadly, I'm going to go chalk here. Not so sadly, I'm going to tell you about a couple of things that may interest you. First of all, Underdog Fantasy. We're brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Best Ball Mania 4 is here, and Underdog Fantasy is giving away $15 million in prizes. Plus, plenty of ways to win with NBA, NHL, and MLB with their player prop parlays. Head over to UnderdogFantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN. And it's Kentucky Derby Week, and the notorious OTB which is one of our podcasts here, brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, is this place to go for all your Triple Crown bets. Plus, leave a review for the show wherever you get your podcast between now and the running of the Belmont, which is Saturday, June the 10th, and you'll be entered into a drawing to win a canvas print of the Wolf's one-of-a-kind Fallen Bob painting. It's post time. All right.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It is main event time in our world for the UFC Bantamweight Championship of the World, Aljamain Sterling versus former champ Henry Cejudo. The messenger, Cejudo, is 16-2 with 8 knockouts. He's been knocked out once.
Wait a second. Wait a second. The messenger?
Yeah. You don't remember that nickname?
I don't.
For a while, I think. It's about as lame as he is, right?
It's about as lame as Triple C, but it's one I haven't heard.
Yep. All right. He's 16-2 with 8 knockouts. He's been knocked out once. 10-2 in the UFC. He was a double champ, flyweight and bantamweight. If you look a little deeper on the resume, it's not quite as impressive when you see who he's beaten. Anyhow, he used to fight at flyweight, as I said. He's won 6 straight fights, the last 3 via TKO. However, he has not fought since May of 2020. He's not lost a fight since December of 2016. He has missed weight at flyweight, but we're up at bantamweight now, so no worries there. Was a regional champion before all this, 2013 pro MMA debut. Was an Olympic wrestling champion. Not surprisingly, he has better grappling stats than Sterling. I guess it is kind of surprising, actually. Sterling is a very good grappler as well. Cejudo has outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.15 strikes per minute. He's at plus 100, even money on the former champ, Funkmaster. Aljamain Sterling, 22-3, 3 knockouts, 8 submissions. He's been knocked out once. Both guys very durable. 14-3 in the UFC. He's been the champion of the bantamweight division, and he's defended it twice already successfully. He's won 8 straight fights. He's not lost since December 2017. He also has multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
He used to fight at flyweight, 2011 pro MMA debut. 3 inches taller than Cejudo, 7 inches of reach on him, 2 years younger. He's got better striking stats, striking and active striking stats than Cejudo. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 2.5 strikes per minute, plus 2.52, and he's at minus 105. Give me the champ, Sterling. Various reasons. Cejudo, the ring rust, even though he says it doesn't exist, he's been out of the cage quite a while. Fighters who have taken at least a year off or only win 45% of the time, so I think it does. Ring rust does exist. He's 36 already, getting quite old for bantamweight. And this is a tough test, even if he was have no ring rust or anything. Sterling seems to be getting better with every fight. He doesn't get the respect he deserves, but he's basically good everywhere. I don't think Cejudo will be able to totally dominate him in the wrestling and the grappling. Plus, Sterling's way, way bigger. 7 inches reach is a huge thing. So give me the champion, current champ.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm going to take Aljamain Sterling too. You said negative
105.
105. Love that number. I'm going to say, in addition to kind of like in that number already, the negative 105 on Sterling, I think is going to come down. I think you're going to see him end up as an underdog. So if you do like Aljamain Sterling like us, just wait a second. I think he's going to be an underdog by fight time. And look, I think the 7 inches you said of reach advantage is huge here for two reasons. Number one, Sterling has been getting a lot better with his hands. And I would say boxing is one of those areas that you see ring rust show up the most. Because if you haven't been in there for like live action for a while, finding that range of boxing of a guy you haven't trained with 700 times can be really tricky. And Aljamain Sterling is getting craftier and craftier on the feet as time goes. He looked great against Dillashaw there. He looked great in the second Piotr Jan fight there. I think he's getting better and better on the feet. And it's going to make it so that it's really hard for Cejudo to get in on those takedowns. Plus, I just want to add, even if Cejudo does get in on a takedown or two, Aljamain Sterling is grappling with Merab Dvalishvili every day and holding his damn own in that process. I think he's got the submissions to counter it. I think he's got the scrambles to counter what Cejudo has. Yeah, I like Aljamain Sterling in this one. I think he's going to prove a lot of people wrong.
There you go. All right, we'll recap the main card. We both are in on Sterling. We both are in on Burns. We both are in on Andrade. We both are in on Evalev. He has Gracie. I have Air Jordan. All right, we're not done. Don't leave yet. We got our locks, our dogs, our props, our parlays. Would you like to begin?
Sure, I'll get it kicking. I'm going to take for my lock. I'm going to take at negative 175, Jessica Andrade. I don't think she should be negative 175 here. I think she should be like negative 300. I think I love the value of the pick. I also just love the pick. Give me Jessica Andrade as my lock.
All right, give me... I'd like to pick a lock we're both in on, but that's hard to do because we're not both in on a whole lot of picks.
No, we're not.
Guess on the main card, we're fairly locked in here. You got Andrade. I like. I'm gonna go one opposite one. Give me Rodriguez -130. Ooh, Marina man. Rodriguez -130. That was what I was thinking originally when I was doing the write ups, and I'm not gonna let you persuade me on that. So there you go.
Just so you know, I was not going to let you take Mavsarev Loev. You tried, I was just going to tell you to try again.
try again.
For my dog, I'm going to go one of the ones I'm opposite of you. I like Kron Gracie. I know the layoff's crazy, but I think he's a huge, super live dog here at plus 155 against somebody who's got some major grappling issues. So give me Kron Gracie.
All right. We're disagreeing on that. Gracie at
155.
155. All right. What dog do I like best? I like the beautiful monster, Mr. Smith, to beat Peter Parker Porter at plus 152.
I like that. I also like that nickname, which it's a great nickname. Yep. I'm going to go nuts with my prop here because I got some big props that I like. I got some smaller ones I like. You'll hear the smaller ones in the Hunger Man drawing. I'm going to take a 6-1 prop here as my prop. Plus 600, Matt Frivola hits a knockout. Matt Frivola becomes the first one to knock out Drew Dober. Plus 600, seems like a long shot, but man, he's coming off of back-to-back knockouts against the guy who gets hit. Man, dude, plus 600, it's hard to just leave that standing there.
All right, so what was the pick again?
Matt Frivola hits a knockout.
Frivola KO, and what was the number again?
Plus 600.
Wow. I did hear it right. Holy moly. All right. Do I want to double down on Smith? Because if Smith wins, he's going to win via knockout.
Yeah. I'm just going to let you know ahead of time. That number is not nearly as enticing as you think.
No, it's 205
it
or something, right?
It's not, well, I mean, like, you could, if you shop around, you might be able to find it at 205, but in a lot of places, he's like, to win 150, you know, I think you said 152. He's like 155 to win in a lot of places, and plus 165 to win in a lot of places by knockout. So, like, in most places, you're only getting like 10 or 20 extra on it. Like, at that price, I think you're better off just like, might as well stick on the money line at that price.
Yep, it's true. All right. What is, what was I look? A Burns via decision.
Oh, I have that on hand for good reason. I have Gilbert Burns by decision plus 250.
All right, give me that.
And
another guy gets finished. I mean, so give me that. So Gumby's got Andrade. I got Rodriguez as our locks. So a couple of straw weights, women's straw weights. He has Gracie as a dog. I have Smith. He has Frivola knockout for his prop, and I have Burns decision for my prop. All right. You got a big Hungry Man Jog Superfan parlay, two fights, big payouts. Let us have it.
Yeah. So the first part is Burns by decision. I love that prop as well. Like, if you're going to bet Gilbert Burns, I don't love the number on Gilbert Burns because it's such a coin flip fight. He's a slight favorite. You know, negative 120. Yeah, not an awful number, but the fact that you can get him at well over twice that value, almost three times that value for Gilbert Burns to win by decision, I think you got to play that. And I think it's probably only juiced up because it's a five round fight.
Right.
But like, I still don't think he's going to knock out Bilal Muhammad. No. And I also don't know Bilal Muhammad is going to like have a tough enough time and get submitted. So yeah, give me Gilbert Burns by decision plus 250. I like that. And then I'm going to pair that with Ikram Aliskarov by submission. So I already like Aliskarov. He's got like a dozen Kimura finishes. He's like really sharp on the ground. I saw some people talking in the Discord that they weren't so sure about him and they didn't love him as like parlay material at like negative 175. If you don't like him at parlay material at negative 135, just take a stab at him to win by submission plus 350, for him to win by submission, which seems like the most likely way he wins this fight is just by wearing out, Phil Haas and going for a submission. I know Haas has lost a bunch of times by getting tired and knocked out. But I think if he gets tired, and even if he gets stung on the feet, I think Aliskarov goes for the arm or tries to finish him with a choke. So give me Aliskarov by sub plus 350. Pair it with Burns plus 250 by decision. You get plus 1475.
Whoa, 14.7 plus 1475. Boom. We're leaving you on a high note there. Hopefully that is our first hit of 2023 on our super fan.
Oh, we got one earlier, but it was only half in one of the fights.
One fight. Fine. You want to count that?
I do.
It was half of a Hungry Man Jong Superfan parlay. So it was a snack. It wasn't the full meal. So
Hungry Man Jong Superfan snack.
Oh, he's super fan. Well, he is a Hungry Man Jong. Super Hungry Man. Yeah, that's right.
Hungry Man Jong super fan snack.
Yeah, yeah, super fan snack. There you go. We have a new segment. So all right. That is it for us. We'll be back on Sunday to recap how we did with all these picks. Till then, get in the Discord and chat with us. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. Twitter, SGPN MMA. Gumby runs that account. He's at Gumby Real, and I'm at Jeff Fox Writer. He's got the Top Turtle MMA podcast. He interviews a couple of people from this here fight card, both prelim fighters. The beautiful monster Smith, Braxton Smith, who will let you know how he got that nickname. And he interviews Kid Kavembo, a couple of good nicknames on his show this week, Johnny Munoz Jr. So listen to that. Stick that in your ear holes once you're done with us. All our writing can be found at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Everyone's writing on various subjects can be found there, as well as all our podcasts and our giveaways and our discounts and all that good stuff. And get in my Substack, moneymma.substack.com. Get me in your inbox pretty much every day with MMA writing. And at the very least, enter my free pick'em contest I run for pretty much every UFC event, including this one. So that is it for me. Gumby will take us home.
I'm David Gumby Freeland. He's Jeff. Remember the name Fox. And we will see you on Sunday.